396, no, not one. Verses 1 and 3. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No.
Good job, young man. I'd like to welcome to our services at Florence Boulevard for Sunday evening. If you're visiting with us tonight, we consider you an honored guest. We'd ask that you take one of the cards from the pew in front of you and fill that out, leave it on the pew or give it to one of the members, and we'll make sure that we have a record of your visit. We'd love to be able to contact you and invite you to come back and be with us. Our next opportunity to worship will be Wednesday evening together at 6:30. And Namsi Ezra Beckman, the infant son of Justin and Mercedes, continues there in room 3301. In Glenwood Rehab, Doug Webster continues there in room 104. Please keep Ona Hudson and her family in your prayers. She is home with hospice care and not doing well. No visitors are requested and prayers are appreciated. She is the mother of Terry Hudson. Please remember that family in your prayers. Also, Bill Bajance is continuing in the hospital or in rehab. If you plan to sign the banner, it's on the table in the foyer. Please do that tonight. Also, if you wanted to give them a gift card, please get that in an envelope and put it in Don Williams' mailbox, and they will get that to them tomorrow. Charles and Gloria Harlan are the proud great-grandparents of Haven Alexander. She was born about an hour ago to Austin and Savannah Alexander. The grandparents are Holly and Jeff Morrison. She weighed 7 pounds, 1 ounce. Tonight, following evening services, is church-wide fellowship in the fellowship hall. Please bring finger foods, drinks, and desserts. And if you're a visitor with us tonight and you didn't plan on that, please consider this your invitation to come to that. I guarantee you we'll have plenty of food. So if you're visiting with us, we would make a special invitation for you to stay with us tonight for our annual Christmas party. There's several Christmas get-togethers coming up. Please pick up a bulletin which has the details about those. The 49ers having a Christmas party on Thursday, December the 22nd at 6 o'clock at Mark and Janet Willingham's home. Please bring finger foods and a re-gift for Dirty Santa. There's a sign-up list in the foyer. Any questions, see Dee Dee McManus, Angie Medley, or Janet Willingham. If you lost some money Wednesday night, please see Mark Willingham. And young professionals, you're going to the Huntsville Christmas lights at the Trash Pandas Stadium. You're going to be taking the bus. The sign-up sheet's on the table in the foyer. And see Nate or Carla Fulmer if you need more information. That'll be leaving Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock from the building here. So all the announcements I have now, we'll begin our evening worship.
Good evening. Our first song tonight will be number 560, Living by Faith. And if you would, let's all stand while we sing this song. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain.
Living by faith,
living by faith
in Jesus above,
in Jesus alone,
trusting and
finding
abiding
in His great love.
Seated. Our next song will be number 176, Lamb of God.
They laughed and scorned.
prayer this evening. We'll sing number 253, Sweet Adoration.
Dear Lord, we're so thankful for this day, the Lord's Day, that we've been able to come together to worship you already, Lord, to sing songs of praise, to dive into your word, Lord. We're thankful for another opportunity this evening to worship you, Lord. Pray that the way we have worship today and will continue to do so will be well-pleasing in your sight and will be in both spirit and in truth. Lord, we're mindful of those that have been mentioned today and throughout the week of being sick and those that are under the weather. Pray that you will be with them and comfort them, and pray that your healing hand will be upon them. Lord, we pray a special prayer for Ezra this evening. Pray that you will continue to bless him. Pray he will see continued success, and pray that you will be with his family as well as they're supporting him, Lord. Lord, we're thankful for the church here and the great works that are done, Lord, through the blessings that you give us. Lord, we thank you for all the outreach that's done. We pray you continue to bless that, and that many will be brought to you through that work, Lord. Lord, we're thankful for Austin and John and the great works that they do with their families. Lord, we pray for them. Thank you for the outreach that's done both with our youth in the community and in the church. Pray you continue to bless them. Pray that we will continue to support them in that work as well. Pray that as we hear another message from your word this evening, that we'll listen attentively and with open hearts, be able to apply part of the message to our lives, Lord, to be better servants for you. Pray for a continued good week. Pray you bless this week. Pray you forgive us of all of our sins, Lord. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
We have an opportunity now to focus on the cross and our Lord who died for us. The psalm before we take the Lord's Supper tonight will be number 350. When my love to Christ grows weak, when more deeper faith I see,
see. there is anyone who would have need of a communion packet, we'll raise your hands if you want to participate. One here. Get right up in front. Okay. In the third verse of the hymn that we all know so well, "It Is Well With My Soul," Horatio Spafford wrote, "Oh, the bliss of that glorious thought, my sin, not the part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul." He also added, "Was it for crimes that I have done that he groaned upon the tree?" And the answer is yes. It was our sin that made it necessary to go on the cross. "By my sin, I spit in his face. By my sin, I caused the crown of thorns to be jammed onto his head. And by my sin, I drove a nail into his hand and into his feet. By my sin, I was even happy to bury him and not have to deal with him again. But he died to wash away all of my sin, to forgive me of those sins. Not in part, but the whole. Nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." I want to read just a bit on the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, first four verses. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel that I preached to you, which you also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep the memory what I preached unto you, and unless you have believed again. For I have delivered unto you first all that which I have received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It is in that memory that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again that we want to recall at this time. So let's say thanks to him for the loaf that we're about to partake. Our Father, Holy God, you have loved us enough to show you the author of our salvation, and we again trust that you will cleanse our hearts of any unforgiven sins. In happiness and joy, we want to praise you, because we have also learned to love you. We have brought to mind once again that cruel death that Jesus died, the death that we deserved, and it is because of our sins. We are the saved ones now, and we thank you and praise you for this bread which Jesus called his body, and has also called us who shared the bread also his body. And we think of you. We thank you for the renewal that we feel as we partake of this body. And in the precious name of Jesus, we want to thank you, and amen. And then we will pray also for the partaking of the cup of blessing. Our holy God, again, we thank you for this precious cup that brings to our minds the terrible and merciless way that Jesus had to shed his blood to defeat the works of Satan. The pouring out of blood from the beatings and the crown of thorns and the nails that hung him on that cross and on a tree that actually he made and caused to grow. The humility of it, that he had to go through this anguish and pain for us to provide the cleansing from sin. And we certainly need that. And we thank you for this, and we pray to you, our Father, in the name of Jesus, and amen. And for those who are to want to make a collection this evening, I guess it can be done in a box in a foyer. We'll also pray for that offering. God in heaven, we again thank you for today's blessings. You have carried us through this day, through our present trials and our present needs, and allowed us to assemble to worship you today. And every day we require food and drink, and every day we require prayers of thanksgiving, recognizing that today's manna has been supplied for our needs, and we know that you will provide for the needs each day, and also know that our needs will be met tomorrow. You have promised to provide for every good work. So please accept our gratitude, which has developed our faith and our confidence in you from your consistent provisions and your blessings. And as we give as you have prospered us, we pray for your blessings on the works of the congregation of this kingdom, this congregation of your kingdom. And may what we give be multiplied in your service. Thank you for your loving care and all of your provisions. And we ask your blessing on this contribution. In Jesus' precious name, we offer this prayer, and amen.
Song before the lesson this evening will be number 867, To Canaan's Land, I'm On My Way. If you would please stand and then remain standing for our reading from God's Word.
To Canaan's Land, I'm on my way.
We're all
The reading this evening will come from Luke chapter 2, verses 27 through 32. This is coming from Simeon, who was in the temple as Jesus is presented. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. You may be seated.
I remember the first time bringing Jarrett to the auditorium for worship when he was a newborn baby. And you know what that's like. That great presentation. It's mixed with excitement and fear. No one touched my baby. But look at it, because they're cute. Brooks, I remember. I remember bringing Brooks home to the house out at 3778 County Road 33 in Killa, Alabama, when Jarrett was going to see Brooks for that first time. I remember Saley. I remember bringing the boys up to the hospital to see Saley for that first time. That presentation, that's memorable, isn't it? Well, for this month, we're gathering around the person and life of Jesus. And the part of Jesus' life that we're gathering around tonight is his presentation at the temple. When his parents, as according to the law of Moses states in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 2 to 8, he was to be presented at the temple. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 22, when it came time for purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it's written of the law of the Lord there in verse 23, that every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And so this is Jesus, and this is his family presenting him in the temple according to the law of Moses. Now, we're going to read through this whole text again, and I've got five highlights I want to share with you. Five highlights from the text that I find to be very interesting from Scripture, and then we'll draw it home at the end. The first highlight is, they brought him to which place? As I said in Pew Packers, the temple. Now, the temple was something when Luke was writing his gospel account, if you believe that Luke was written early in the early 60s, which I tend to believe. Some people think it was late in the mid to late 80s. I don't fall into that camp. I think Luke was written sometime 60 to 64, sometime in that area AD. And if that's the case, when the Bible states that they brought him to the temple, they brought him up to Jerusalem to be presented at the temple, they had an idea of what the temple looked like. Now, Tyler, if you can click to this next slide, there's an image of somebody drawing out what this temple may appear like in some caricature type way. This was a big deal to be presented at temple. Now, the first temple was destroyed in 586 B.C. by the Babylonians, rebuilt again, Ezra, Nehemiah. They brought the second temple up, and that second temple lasted for a while. Eventually, this new temple was going to be destroyed in 70 A.D. by Titus, the Roman emperor, but the Christians got blamed for it. That's a whole big story. But they brought him into the temple. Now, why the temple? Let's talk about temple for just a moment as the first highlight. What took place in the temple? Well, I'm going to say this first off, with Jesus in the temple. You see, the temple is a very important place in the Luke Acts account. You know, the same guy wrote Luke and Acts. So Jesus came to the temple as a baby, both for circumcision and for purification. He went back to the temple around 12 years old, for there he must have been about his father's business. We see Jesus teaching in the temple, cleansing the temple, and when he died on the cross, the curtain in the temple was torn in two. This was a significant place for Jesus in his life, but not just for Jesus, but for God. What happened in the temple? Church, the temple was the meeting place, the go-between with mankind and God. This is where the high priest would make intercession for the people. The temple was the place of God. The temple is the place where sacrifices were given to God, where praises were lifted to God, where people called out to God. This is where man meets Father. Temple. And the significance of Jesus being presented there at temple is wonderful. You see, through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and then eventually in AD 70 when the physical temple was ripped away and destroyed, already in existence was a spiritual temple. You see, Jesus didn't just care about the brick and stone temple. He was living to establish the new covenant temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. Don't you know that you yourselves are the temple of God? Your body is the temple collectively. We as the Lord's body are the temple. But then we individually also are individual temples where the Holy Spirit dwells in singular, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. And so there is a parallel to new covenant time. And I can take that parallel further. The temple that we have is where God meets man. And when we're immersed into Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit indwelling within us, God meets man. And isn't it the case that the heart of the temple is where the heart of worship happened? And since our bodies are the temple, we become the heart of where worship happens. God doesn't just seek people to go places in worship. He wants you to be in the heart of worship. The temple is the place where sacrifices are made. Isn't it the case that we are living sacrifices for the Lord our God? And how many people, by the way, got to dictate what the temple looked like, what it was designed as, and what it was used for? How many people? Nobody. God did. Now, the New Covenant temple, we think we have freedom to do with our bodies what we want. Popular slogan in today's age. That's why Paul had to write in the 1 Corinthian letter, you don't have freedom to do with this body that you think you do. It's God's. And being God's, he decides. And use it to honor God. Temple. That's one major highlight. A second highlight I see in the text is how Jesus' family followed the old law. How they went about according to the customs of the old law. Verse 22. They came for their purification as according to the law of Moses. And you can click to the next slide there, Tyler. This is kind of a timeline of what took place in Jesus' life. He was named, circumcised, dedicated at the temple. They did all of these things according to the old law. Now, I find this to be very interesting. Austin Sweeney, he put this one on to me a little bit. He said, think about this, Austin. Austin Sweeney talking to Austin Johnson. He said, think about this, Austin Johnson. The Lamb of God didn't have money to offer a lamb to God. Because what happens in the text? When his family went up to offer a sacrifice in verse 24, what did they offer? A pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Which, if you're to look into Exodus 13, 11 to 16, Leviticus 12, 2 to 8, both talk about if you don't have money for a lamb, go and get pigeons and turtle doves. So the Lamb of God didn't have money to offer a lamb to God. He came from humble beginnings. Now, they had a lamb with them. They just maybe didn't know how yet. Third highlight from the text is how even Jesus, in infancy, had the cross looming over his shoulders. Skip down to verse 33. Jesus was presented there to Simeon in verse 27 and 28. Simeon spoke 28 to 32, those wonderful words. In verse 33, his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. In verse 34, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother. Now listen, this, you've got to be careful what you say to a pregnant woman and to a newborn mom. You got to be careful now. Watch this though. Simeon spoke these words. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. Now put yourself in the shoes of Mary as she hears these words. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Now, this is not the blessing and the wish of goodness that most new parents would hope for. Even in infancy, Jesus had the cross looming over his shoulders. That stands out to me. One writer said this, even in this story of faith, hope, joy, there's this ominous note. How in his blessing, Simeon speaks of the falling and rising of many in Israel, of opposition and division, and most of all, a sword that will pierce Mary's soul. And I can't help but think of the double meaning of the sword in her soul, yet the spear in his side. Even here in the joy of the infant incarnation, the shadow of the cross looms overhead. And can we appreciate what Luke is doing here in this gospel account, in this instance of Jesus being presented, this story of long awaiting, great expectation, and even hope in the midst of disappointment. The Son is here, Jesus the Christ, glory for Israel, and a sword will pierce your side. But despite the darkness, and this is a sermon that John, when he first got here, about 13 months ago, he said, Austin, I got one for you. Despite the darkness. I've had that written on a note for 13 months. And here's where I've decided to put it in my preaching. But despite the supposed darkness, God will restore a spiritual temple in the body of each Christian. Despite the darkness of the cross that was then and always looming over Jesus' head for his life on earth, God would redeem mankind through that cross. Despite the darkness of seasons of waiting, generations of expectation and anticipation of a not now but future reward and glory, God will redeem the time with his ability to bring each Christian joy and hope and spirit. And despite the darkness, God will reign victorious. That is the message of despite the darkness. And it's a highlight I see in the text. Fourth, the word appointed. Look in Luke chapter 2. Verse 34, Simeon blessed them and said to the mother Mary, behold, this child is appointed. Tyler, click onto the slide where I highlight the word appointed. This child is appointed. Now, that is a strange word to me, and I wanted to research it, give some background on what this word could mean. It's used oftentimes, numerous times in the New Testament, as a matter of fact. One meaning on the next slide is used metaphorically when the word appointed could be talked about as destined, appointed, or put in this particular position by God's will. So what does the word appointed mean? It means God chose in the infant Jesus his life that was going to be ahead of him. Jesus was appointed for this. But I can't help but think, practically speaking, what has God appointed for his followers? Should we expect more than what God gave to Jesus? A life of sacrifice, service, occasional suffering, and then death? I don't think we should. But in a life of service, sacrifice, suffering, and death, we know just as Jesus rose up to walk in newness of life, we will too by the power of the Lord God. And just as Jesus ascended into heaven, we will too by the power of the Lord God. For he was appointed for this, so are we. Fifth, and the final highlight from the text. I love Luke 2:28. Maggie Clifton let me hold Collier a week ago. I got that little baby right here, just like that. And my baby's big now. Saley's, she's put on some weight. And that's good. No, that's good. I mean that very seriously. She's good and healthy. But when I held Collier, he was so new, so small. I read in Luke chapter 2, verse 28. They handed Jesus, and in verse 28, He took him up in his arms. Now, this was a man who was moved by prophetic knowledge of the Spirit to know who this baby was. What did he know would happen to Jesus? He knew the rising and fall of many in Israel. He knew the sword would pierce Mary's side. When he looked into the eyes of baby Jesus, what did he see? Simeon touches him, holds him, embraces him. And given that Jesus comes to Simeon in the weakness of babyhood, think about this. For this moment, Simeon actually carries the Christ. If Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, 15, and 16, in every way can sympathize with us, in every way, how can he understand weak being held by the strong? Could it be that in this moment, Jesus, as the weak, was held by the strong? I think I'm stretching a little bit to make a point. But I love the imagery of that moment. Simeon has waited faithfully upon God, and the reward of his faithfulness is that just for a moment he can hold the coming king. To bring it to an end, that imagery there puts me right into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where at the end of the chapter, Paul said, here's what Jesus is going to do. He will take us in his hands, and he will hand us over to the Father. And the final victory will be won, and that is over death. And when God becomes all in all and over all, the end will come. It's memorable when that baby is presented. It is most memorable when that baby is Jesus. To be held in the hand of the Lord our God. There may be somebody tonight who needs to be held in the hand of the Lord their God. We gather tonight to worship and praise the Father, a God who is big enough and strong enough, as Mark Van Horn said this morning, where our words cannot exaggerate, where we cannot embellish enough, because he is able. And if you're in need, remember this message. Tonight, he's able, and he's willing, and he's ready. Are you? If you need help in any way, let it be known. We'll stand up and sing this song to our Lord.
Thank you, everyone, for being here tonight. Don't forget, the Christmas party will be right after services end in the fellowship hall. For all the college group, we'll be having our Christmas party on Wednesday after church. We're going to have pizza games, so please Bring any game you want, except someone in class brought up Risk. So please bring games that take less than 4 hours to play. If you want to wear a sweater, that's fine. We're not really doing anything Christmas related. We're just going to get together, have fellowship. So please come. We're going to have a good time with that. Our last song tonight will be I Stand in Awe.
You are beautiful beyond description.
That each of us will leave here encouraged, uplifted, with a desire to live your will in our lives, but also to eager to proclaim your name as your disciples. We're thankful for Austin and his talents and his abilities to deliver your words for us to study. Father, as we continue our fellowship this evening, we pray that you'll be in the presence of us as we celebrate this season with food and fun, and we will just have a good time in fellowship, and we know you'll be with us and bless that time. Most of all, Father, we're thankful for your Savior, our Savior, your Son. And on that great day, will redeem us from our sinfulness. And it's in his name we pray.